Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
TxDOT traffic alerts for week of August 1st, 2022. The Texas Department of Transportation issued traffic alerts for the week of August 1st, 2022. Winkler County, lane closures will be needed Tuesday, August 2nd, on northbound SH-18 near the state line for repair work. Please follow pilot car safely and obey flaggers and or warning signs. Expect slight delays, hashtag be safe, drive smart, hashtag in the streak, TX. Terrell County, northbound US 90 will be closed at Sanderson Canyon, just east of Sanderson for the next month as repairs are made on a bridge. Only one lane will be open with automated flagging. Please obey warning signs and automated flagging station. Please slow down, expect slight delays, hashtag be safe, drive smart, hashtag in the streak, TX. Andrews County, the northbound lane of SH-115 will be closed for 3 days, Tuesday, August 2nd through Thursday, August 4th, for road work to be done. Work begins at FM 181 and goes northeast. Please slow down and obey signs and flaggers. Please follow pilot car safely. Expect slight delays. Hashtag be safe. Drive smart. Hashtag in the streak. TX. TxDOT urges drivers to be alert. As millions of Texas children head back to school, the Texas Department of Transportation is reminding drivers to stay focused and drive safe in and around school zones and bus stops. This includes adhering to a new Texas law that requires drivers to stop and yield to pedestrians in crosswalks. Everyone has a responsibility to keep children safe on their way to and from school. TxDOT offers these safety tips for drivers, parents, and students. Tips for driving in school zones. Be aware that traffic patterns around schools may have changed since the last school year. Stay alert and put your phone away. Using a handheld electronic device while driving in an active school zone is against the law. Always obey school zone speed limit signs. Remember, traffic fines increase in school zones. Drop off and pick up your children in your school's designated areas, not the middle of the street. Keep an eye on children gathered at bus stops. Watch for children who might dart across the street or between vehicles. Tips for drivers sharing the road with school buses. Follow at a safe distance. Keep in mind that school buses make frequent stops. Always remain alert for children around buses and remember that they may not always look for vehicles before crossing the street. Stop for flashing red lights or a stop sign on a school bus, regardless of which direction you're headed. Continue your trip once the bus has moved. The flashing lights stop flashing or the bus driver signals it's okay to pass. Violations can lead to fines up to $1,250 for a first offense. Tips for children walking or biking to school. Always use sidewalks. If there's not a sidewalk, walk on the left side of the street facing traffic. Cross the street at intersections or marked crosswalks. Look left, right, and left again before proceeding. Always obey crossing guards. Make eye contact with drivers before crossing the street. Never assume a driver sees you. Look for traffic when stepping off a bus or from behind parked vehicles. Always wear a helmet when riding a bicycle. Don't be distracted by electronic devices that take your eyes and ears off the road. Follow all traffic rules, signs, and signals. Today's obituaries for August 2nd. Patricia Ann Fletcher, Pat, 72, of Allen, Texas, passed away at home on July 29th. Pat was born October 15, 1949, in Walters, Oklahoma, to Kenneth and Joan Fletcher. Pat is survived by her brother, Kenny Fletcher, her sister, Kay Little, her brother-in-law, James Little, and some nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her father, Kenneth Fletcher, and mother, Joan Fletcher. Viewing will be held at Hart Wyatt Funeral Home, Walters, Oklahoma, on Tuesday, August 2nd, from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Graveside service will follow at Walters Cemetery at 11 o'clock. Leon Daniel Starnes, Dan, 94, of Odessa, died peacefully on July 27th in Lubbock. Dan was born in Graham, Texas on May 28th, 1928, to Bailey and Vinia Starnes. Dan is preceded in death by his wife of 49 years, Jo Bess Starnes. He is survived by his sister-in-law, Rosa Starnes of Lubbock, and a host of nieces and nephews who all have cherished memories of quality fun times with a very special uncle. Funeral, 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, August 3rd, in the chapel of Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors, with Reverend John Walmsley officiating. Interment, 3:30 p.m. Wednesday, August 3rd, at Admiral Beard Cemetery in Bayard, Texas. The family will receive family and friends from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, August 2nd, at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Death notices. Bruce Irvin Seawright, 66, of Odessa, died Wednesday, July 27th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. August 3rd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Martha Jane Stuckey Weatherby, 84, of Odessa, died Friday, July 29th, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. August 2nd at Antioch Christian Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Matt Wilson is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Don't fall for odd tricks and myths to make your AC run more efficiently. By Braden Garcia, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. For many, air conditioning is nearly as essential as water during hot Texas summers when temperatures cross triple digits nearly every day. Fort Worth has had an exceptionally hot July with temperatures remaining well above 100 degrees. The constant heat is due to a ridge of high pressure that has impacted the central part of the United States since June. A viral photo made the rounds across social media earlier this month of a homeowner placing an umbrella over an air conditioning unit, hoping to make it more efficient. The Star-Telegram spoke with J.D. Webb, owner and president of Webb Air Heating and Cooling in Fort Worth, to find out if the umbrella trick works and to discuss other myths we have about how to make our AC units work more efficiently. Is putting an umbrella over your AC unit really helping? Having the AC unit in the shade can definitely help it operate more efficiently. Just don't do it with an umbrella, Webb said. When the sun is beating down during the day, the metal on the unit absorbs the heat faster. Having the unit in a shady area can help cool down the AC unit, in turn making it more efficient. Placing a tent or umbrella over the top of the unit only keeps the heat generated from the unit from dissipating, Webb said. The hot air could be sucked back into the unit, causing it to run less efficiently. The Mary Poppins idea probably would not be very successful, Webb said. But having your unit in a shady area or a wall that blocks the sun late in the day definitely can help your unit. Will changing the air filters on your AC unit help? Yes. Replacing a dirty filter will help the system work better, Webb said. One of the keys to air conditioning is airflow through the system. Having a dirty or clogged filter will impact the flow. If not, enough air goes across the evaporator coil, it can freeze up into a giant block of ice. Keeping the filters clean or changing to another clean filter will make a noticeable difference, Webb said. Will blocking or closing your AC unit vents help save money? No. Closing AC unit vents does not help save on energy, Webb said. An HVAC system is designed to move a certain amount of air across and through the system to create air changes in the house. When the air is blocked off, it makes the system run less efficiently. If the outside compressor is running and one or two or all of the vents are closed, the unit still pulls air into the house, meaning the unit is running and not saving on energy, Webb said. Do condensation tablets for AC units help? Condensation tablets have nothing to do with making the AC unit work more efficiently. They have another purpose. Condensation tablets are used to treat water that collects in the drain pan and goes down the drain line to prevent algae or bacteria growth, which could clog the drain, Webb said. When water is condensed on the evaporator coil, water trickles down and goes into a drain pan and out the condensate line. That's where bacteria and algae can grow from the evaporator coil, which can cause clogs and water damage, Webb said. The only thing a condensation tablet does is treat the impurities in the condensate drainage system. Should you spray your AC unit with water to keep it clean? Yes and no, but more often than not, it needs to be done by a professional HVAC technician. At least once a year, the outdoor condenser coil, which has little aluminum fins on it, need to be cleaned of grass, yard clippings, and other debris, Webb said. The unit needs to be cleaned to ensure the proper airflow in the unit, otherwise it can overheat. Webb said he has seen people take a sprinkler and point it in the direction of the AC unit to pepper it with water, which can temporarily help the unit cool off, but it's not a good long-term solution. The unit also needs to be turned off when being sprayed with water, as it can be an electrocution hazard. This is a service that needs to be done, but preferably by a professional technician, Webb said. Here's a sidebar that accompanies the previous story. Tips on keeping your AC in top shape. Every AC tip or trick people see online might not always be legit. Here, Webb shares a few of his own tips. Relationship. Building a relationship with a contractor that you can trust is important, as they can service the AC unit every year. Just like a car that needs its oil changed regularly, the AC unit needs attention too. Temperature check. Turning the thermostat down to 60 degrees or lower does not help the unit create colder air. In reality, it increases runtime, which can cause the unit to freeze up. Thermostat. Most thermostats have a fan setting which either says on or auto. Make sure the fan is in the auto position because the on setting can cause humidity in the unit to increase rather than decreasing in cooling. Unit size. When buying a new unit, make sure to buy the appropriate size for your home. A bigger AC unit does not always mean better, as it can cause higher bills. Professional. If you don't know what you're doing when it comes to an AC unit, it's best to let a professional take a look before you damage yourself or the unit. Replacement. Replacing an AC unit between October and April can help save money on installation and cost.
OCC's increased tax revenue. The budget for the 2022-23 fiscal year and a tax abatement for a cement company were discussed by the Odessa College Board of Trustees during a workshop Wednesday in the Wood Math and Science Building. The notice said the meeting was at 6:30 p.m. in the Zandt Community Room at the Salisbury Campus Center, but both time and location were moved. Ashley Warren, executive assistant to the president, said there was a technical issue with the agenda software and work sessions are always at noon. The board didn't have a quorum, but a consultant to the Freedom of Information Foundation hotline said the board can discuss items without one, but cannot make any decisions. The next regular meeting is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. August 2nd in the Zandt Community Room of the Salisbury Campus Center. The board is considering a tax rebate for GCC, a cement company. Vice President of Administrative Services Ken Zartner said the agreement is still in the works. We have to draft the legal agreements, but our proposal that the board is considering, it hasn't been adopted, is a 5-year abatement at 50% and then a year 6 through 10 abatement at 25%. With both those abatements paid up front, Zartner said. GCC is proposing a $400 million expansion to their facility. Chief Financial Officer Brandy Hamm said the proposed budget with all funds is $75,241,575. The unrestricted funds are $58,761,177, and the restricted and plant funds are $16,480,338. Hamm said restricted funds include things like Pell Grants and any leftover CARES money. CARES stands for Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security. Overall, Hamm said the budget is increasing by $5,537,000, which is equivalent to a 10.4% increase. Hamm said looking at the revenue projections to support the budget, tuition and fees are increasing by $3.3 million, or 24%. Tax revenues are also increasing to $2.1 million based on net assessed values, increasing by 13.5%. The budget priorities for the year are to maintain competitive salaries, support the OC 10,000 initiative, investing in student success strategies, and completion of ongoing construction projects across campus. Some of the new initiatives are mental telehealth software that will aid our students 24 hours a day, a 20-foot shipping container for our OSET CE department. OSET stands for Occupational Safety and Environmental Technology. Chat platform licensing so we can chat with students online from the platform, food pantry vouchers, vehicle replacements. There are two golf carts in there and then a ranch water well, Hamm said. On the food pantry vouchers, Hamm said the college has set aside funding for food for the food pantry and vouchers for students to eat in the cafeteria when they are physically on campus. Hamm said the budget also includes a net increase of 23 full-time positions. Our instructional facility and staff are increasing by 18 positions, the administrative and support staff by 5 positions, for a total of 23, Hamm said. Hamm said the proposed budget also includes a 6% raise for all eligible full-time faculty, professional, and classified staff. OC has 422 employees in the proposed budget, but not everybody would be affected by that. They would have had to be hired before April 15th to be eligible, Hamm said. The salary change moves from 15 semester credit hours for faculty to the 18 semester credit hours for faculty, a one-time mid-year $300 stipend for all eligible full-time employees, and then a mid-year performance bonus for all eligible full-time employees, she said. Sol Ross alum inducted into Texas State Athletic Trainers Association Hall of Honor. William Bain Ward was inducted into the Texas State Athletic Trainers Association Hall of Honor at the annual meeting in the Arlington Convention Center, a Sol Ross State University press release detailed. Ward graduated from Alpine High School in 1961 and from Sol Ross State College in 1965. He majored in business administration and biology. SRSU afforded him a summer session in Hawaii to study history and religion in 1964. Sol Ross State University and Alpine were great places to grow up. It was super. Ward stated in the press release, his father, Billy Ward Sr., played for the Alpine Cowboys in the late 1940s, so it was natural for Ward to become a bat boy for the team in 1954. Mr. Coconut paid for everything for us, food or hotel and travel. It was a great honor, he stated in the press release. That year, the team featured players like Norm Cash and Gaylord Perry. Mr. Coconut bought Tony Lama boots for everyone that featured the 06 brand, Ward stated in the press release. One of SRSU's most famous students, Dan Blocker, would babysit Ward and his sister and later even taught him to drive. The family next door neighbor, Dolpha Parker, became Blocker's wife, and Alpine High School and the Super Bowl winner, Bake Turner, were one of his best friends. Doc Ward became an athletic trainer at Plainview High School for Dallas ISD, Odessa High School, and Midland Lee High School. He has 5 state championship rings, 3 in football, and attended the National High School Football Championship in 1988. Ward retired in 2012, but still works rodeo gigs with Sol Ross classmate Truman Spoon, 1965, at about 40 events a year. Ward cared for a few notable high school student athletes, including Larry Steve and Rudy Gatlin of country music's The Gatlin Brothers, Lawrence McCutcheon, and Cedric Benson. He was a one-time part owner of Athletic in Odessa and later worked in the oil field. Cutting toenails and diabetes. Dear Dr. Roach, my friend is diabetic and had to have foot surgery after cutting their toenails. Why is this so dangerous? TSB. Answer, people with diabetes should know that they ought not to cut their own toenails. Even a small nick can lead to an infection. Long-standing diabetes puts a person at risk for poor blood flow from both large and small blood vessels and decreased immune function. Diabetics may have poor sensation, which is necessary to let them know there is a developing problem. Unfortunately, it is all too common that people ignore the advice and try to take care of their feet themselves. Compounding this, they often don't do daily foot exams like they're supposed to. These checks are meant to make them aware of any infection so that it can be treated before it gets too dangerous. Sometimes, by the time the foot infection needs medical attention, it can be very serious, potentially requiring amputation. Risk of this is lowered by better diabetes control to prevent the blood vessel and nerve disease, with proper professional foot care by a podiatrist, and with daily foot exams by the person with diabetes.
This is the Dear Abby column. Love triangle will inevitably cause hurt feelings. Dear Abby, I'm a woman who a little while ago got a girlfriend, Darlene. After meeting her, I thought that was what love felt like. But my old bisexual friend, Michelle, has me feeling differently. I have known her since kindergarten, but recently I feel my heart racing and butterflies in my stomach just thinking about her. When Michelle does my nails and holds my hand to steady them, my knees feel weak. I do not feel this way with Darlene, although I still care deeply about her. I don't want to hurt her feelings by breaking up with her, but I think that if I were single, Michelle might consider going out with me. Darlene's feelings are extremely sensitive, and I want to keep her as a friend. But just being around Michelle has me feeling happier than ever. Abby, this is driving me insane. Do I risk hurting someone's feelings, or should I stay with Darlene and miss out on being with someone I am in love with? Am I a bad girlfriend just by thinking of this? Signed, Lovestruck in Alaska. Dear Lovestruck, your feelings are your feelings. You are not a bad girlfriend. You are a girlfriend who is ready to break up with Darlene. Before making any announcements, verify with Michelle that your feelings are reciprocated. If they are, then you must tell Darlene you want to see other people. Count on her being hurt and probably angry, so be as gentle as you can when you give her the news. It will be doing all three of you a favor. Breakups, while painful, are a fact of life. People do recover, and Darlene will be free to find someone who will love her the way she deserves to be loved. Dear Abby, my younger sister Tish is adamant about getting our parents' affairs in order. They are in their 80s and in excellent physical and mental health, except for osteo-related issues. Tish's constant reminders are making them feel she is rushing them to the grave. My siblings and I appreciate her intentions and support her efforts to get our parents to finalize their trust arrangements, but it's reached a point where she wants to start selling their belongings and is secretly throwing things away. Tish spends a lot of time looking at memorabilia and telling them who certain items should be given to. We are unable to control her, and she gets belligerent if we disagree with her vision of how things should be handled. Should I be thankful for what she's doing and try to convince my parents it's a lot less for them to worry about? I don't want to be that family member, but I am afraid I'm becoming such. Signed, Looking On in Texas. Dear Looking On, your parents are fortunate that they are in great health, but they should also realize what inevitably lies ahead. You would be doing the whole family a favor if you pointed out to them that because Tish becomes angry and belligerent if someone disagrees with her, they need to talk to an attorney who specializes in estate planning, which will prevent conflict after their eventual passing. After that, the ball is in their court. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.